We're very appreciative of our CFX group, each and every member. It's so good to have the Herrings, a family that participates so wonderfully and freely in our worship. The scripture today is from the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 14. And I'm going to read this to you. It's a very difficult story, but yet as we wrestle with it, as we listen to God speak through it, I believe that there really is a word for us as we learn through our family stories. These are our family stories of faith. And so God will show us. God will provide. But let's listen to the story. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Sometimes I just like being honest about the scripture. If you find it difficult sometimes, I find it difficult too. And this is one of those stories that I found very difficult. First of all, it doesn't make sense. Abraham and Sarah have waited a long time for the promise to come true. The promise of a birth of a child. And that birth comes, Isaac, the fulfillment of the promise. But now, Abraham is being instructed to offer that promise up. The very promise that they had waited for and was fulfilled. Now, Abraham's asked to go and offer Isaac up as a sacrifice. Well, not only does it not make sense, it seems wrong. And if it seems wrong to you and seems wrong to me, it should seem wrong. It doesn't make sense. It grates our sensibilities. We ask ourselves, what do we do with this family story here? What in the world do we do with it? Well, an interesting thing about this story, very, very quickly, is this. I'm watching and I'm listening to Abraham. And as he and his son go up the mount, he says to his two servants that remain there, and he and his son are going to go up, but that they would return. Kind of contradictory. He knows he's going up on the mountain to offer his son, but then at the same time he says, but we will return. He goes up there and he's preparing the altar as he's instructed. His son says, Dad, Dad, where is the ram? He doesn't see the ram for the burnt offering. And his father, who's obeying, also believes the Lord will provide. Wow, what an agonizing thing it must have been for Abraham, the one who was struggling with to be committed to God, to obedience, but yet at the same time, well, this was his son, and he had to believe God. Perhaps if necessary, God could raise his son from the dead. It doesn't say that, but he must have been wrestling. Hope against hope is a good way to put it. Within Abraham, we see this willingness to obey, but yet this willingness to trust that somehow or another, God will provide. When it really didn't make sense to him either. What's going on here? First verse I read is a little key. It said test. This is a test. Abraham, who up until now could not really be trusted with the promise. Sometimes he was faithful, sometimes he wasn't. But God needed to know, could he indeed trust this man with the promise he had given him and the covenant he had made with him? Can Abraham be the faithful person he needs to be from here on out? It's a test, really, of true commitment. Is Abraham truly committed? The one who waffled so many times, is he truly committed? It's a test of Abraham. It's also a test of God. It's a test of God. It's a test of God's faithfulness. And in this test, both Abraham and God prove yes. Abraham can be trusted, even though he has to hope against hope. And God can be trusted because the Lord does provide. It's a test. Now, God doesn't tempt us to do evil. That's not what I'm saying. But you see, sometimes it's like, well, a person has to be weighed to see if they're going to be able to measure up to what comes next. And the test is to see if they're prepared to do more. Abraham passes the test. From here on out, this is the Abraham we've been taught to think about. The one who was a man full of integrity and commitment and was all in. But guess what? From here on out, the people of God knew something about God that was very, very important. That they never forgot and we never should forget. And that is God will provide. So he named the very place of the offering, God will provide. Abraham passed the test. God passed the test. But still, I'm left with this question. Well, what do we do with this story? Well, I guess there are many kinds of different things we can do with this story, but I want to give you one simple application of this story. One simple application of this story. And it's really in response to what a lot of people will say once they read this story, if they're parents. They'll say something like, well, does this story say that we should know? The God that we believe in is not the God who wants to take our children from us. God is the giver of life. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. He's not the one who comes to rob, steal, and destroy, the evil one. He's the one who gives life. God cares far more for our children and loves them than even we do. The application can be seen best here for us in the act of baptism. When a little child is brought forth and you have the parents Well, I've baptized lots of babies, so I've seen lots of parents holding a little child, and I know what they're thinking. I just hope the baby doesn't spit up on Reverend Green. You know, and you know, I hope the baby won't wiggle. I hope the baby won't, you know, and all that. And I usually instruct them, whatever the baby does is okay. I've learned that babies are going to do what babies do. Okay? Whatever they do, it doesn't matter. I've been spit on and I've also been peed on. And I've been survived both of those things. But then I look at their face when the time comes when I'll say, baby, please. And a mother or a father has to take that baby and place that baby in my hands. What they're doing is they're saying, before this baby was ours, it was God's. It belongs to God and to the church. And so as I hold it, I'm holding it on behalf of the church. And I'm holding this baby, and I baptize this baby. And these parents are thinking to themselves, can I really entrust my child to God? Yes, you can. And matter of fact, there will come a time when you worry about your child. When you just worry yourself sick about what's going to happen to your child as the child grows. There'll come a time when you want to hold that child so tightly. I remember one person, she was on our staff. It came time for her child to go to first grade, and it was a problem. The child wanted to go, but the mother didn't want the child to go. You just hold on tight because you don't want them to grow up, and you're worried about them. And then you start playing God. I'm going to control your life. I'm going to tell you who your friends can be. I'm going to tell you what to do, where you can walk, when to do this, when to do that. And parents become obsessed about their children. They begin to live their lives to their children, and they're holding on to their child, and they're going, I just want to make sure my child never has to suffer. My child always prospers. My child has everything, and it ain't going to happen. And you're worrying yourself sick. But sometime in your life, there'll come the opportunity when you do this. Take your child, whether your child's a baby, 3 weeks old, or maybe a son who's 44 years old. And you just take that child, and in prayer, you say, God, I'm handing my son or my daughter over to you. Our children come through us, but they don't come from us. Before they were ours, they were God's. And so there comes that time when you entrust your loved one with God. And the good news is this. God cares and loves far more than we do. And God can be trusted to provide. And we can hand over our children and offer them up to God. They're still our children. We still love them. We still care for them. But the application is this. We have to hand our children over to God. The alternative? Well, how's it working for you, Dr. Field would say. And the good news is God will provide. I'm going to ask you a little question right now. Here's the question. Who are you prone to worry about, hold too tightly, or try to control, playing God in his or her life? It's time to hand that person over to God and to his care, for he will provide. Let us pray. God of every good and perfect gift, we are thankful for the people you have entrusted to us. When we are tempted to worry about them or hold them too tightly, help us to hold them with open hands, always offering them to you in prayer. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for them and for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I'd like to say one more thing about this story. It's a family story. It teaches us that within our family, we come to know something. When tough times come, God didn't promise us a rose garden, but He is Jehovah Jireh. He does provide. We need to remember that. You may be going through something right now, and you need to remember God will provide. Another thing about this story I think we need to remember and also apply is this. You know that little lamb that was caught in the thicket? Represented Jesus, the Lamb of God. Can you fathom this? While God wouldn't require us to offer up our son as a sacrifice, God offered His Son up, Jesus Christ. He lived our life, died our death, and rose for our sake. Christ was the sacrifice for us that our sins may be forgiven, that our life may be restored, that we may have hope. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The ram that was in that thicket was Jesus. The Lord will provide. Let us stand.